All righty. Happy Halloween. Here we are. Friday, October 31st. It's good to have you here. Thank you so very, very much for stopping on by once again to Damon Bruce Plus. And let me just tell you, it's a big day. It's a big day because a man who's been a big part of this channel is celebrating a little bit of birthday. This guy right here. No, it's not Ike's actual birthday. His actual birthday is in March, right around mine. I think he's March 26th. I'm March 25th. Today, though, Ike is celebrating a big business birthday. Happy 18th to Ike's today. I mean, if Ike's as a restaurant wants to start wearing provocative Halloween costumes, officially old enough to now do so, you know, can't tell an 18-year-old what to do. So congratulations to Ike's. And as you are thinking about either lunch today, this weekend, little something dinner to take home, maybe ordering for the office next week, boy, I hope you check out Ike's and you sign up for that Love Rewards program. You get a free sandwich when you sign up. And I think that everyone who's already signed up for Ike's is getting a little prize today, a little happy birthday prize that he's giving to his own customers. And thank you very, very much to every customer who comes through the Dubliner West portal. And if we sent you, make sure you tell Kenny or John that I'm here because I heard about this bar watching Damon Bruce on YouTube. They love hearing that. They've been incredible sponsors of this channel. Thanks so much to them. And here we go. Your last day to lay claim to a free $20 play on Sleeper. It's free. It's free through the end of today. This was a promotion in the month of October, but the promotion that is running all football season is simply this. When you sign up to Sleeper, make sure you use promo code Damon and the link in the description right in the top of this video, and you will get a $100 deposit match up to your first $100 deposited. So there you go. Plays on Sleeper are fantastic. It's a great user interface, and really, I mean, you can have some fun. You can win some money over there. Do so responsibly, as always. Make good choices, kids. We're looking for you to make good choices out there in that big, nasty world that we're all dealing with. So thanks so much to Sleeper. And I'll tell you that Sam Batesh will be joining us in about 10 minutes here. He is down in Los Angeles at the studio, and he'll be joining us in just a little bit. Pound that like button. Thank you very much, Chef A. Indeed, hit that like button right now. Happy Halloween to everybody. We got Hugh Oski Bear saying happy Halloween. Smiley Dan, why would he say that? Because Smiley Dan's in here wishing everybody a happy Samboni Friday and a happy Halloween. Look, it's a fun night. San Francisco as a city crushes Halloween. This town loves to have a good costume party. We're going to have one tonight. Now, it's amazing. And I was talking about this with Kruger. I'm sure we'll mention this with Sam when he comes on by today. How much your Halloween parties and costumes evolve as you go through life. When you're a kid, it's all fun and games. Then, you know, you become a teenager and you want to do something cooler. Then you get into your 20s, you start going out, and you realize that an awful lot of women use Halloween as their "let me show you what I got" evening. And that turns into an awful lot of fun in your 20s and in your single life. Then you get married. Then you get into that couple's costume phase. I remember when Jillian and I went as Captain and Coke. I dressed as an airline captain. She dressed as a can of Coke. Oh, you're married. You got couple's costumes now. And then it becomes all about the kids. And that's where we are. We're all about the kids and the big Halloween. Got Jack and Ozzy so excited today. They woke up this morning like, fuck yeah, it's Halloween! I mean, they are fired up. A six-year-old and a four-year-old, you can't find a bigger day on the calendar than what we got. So it's going to be a fun one here today. Everyone have a great time. If you got kids, have a great time. If you are trying to get phone numbers tonight, may your hookups be fantastic. Good luck to everyone, no matter what phase of Halloween you are in. I am tired, as we turn our attention to why we're all here in the first place, I'm sick and tired of the 49ers being in the phase of survival mode. It feels like since this season kicked off, it's not about showing us what you got. It's not about proving a point. It's not about establishing who you are in terms of power rankings. Not that any of that really matters. Every single game is just, can they survive? Can they survive? Can they survive under the circumstances that they bring to the table? Can they survive this football game? And that's where I think they really are right now. I'm not worried about style points. You know, I'll say if the Niners do come out and win this game loudly, you're not going to help but notice. But what does it really mean? This is an objectively not very good New York team. They've got more big names than they've got big production on that defensive side of the football. And the big names that they're assembling for their big, bright future, well, two-thirds of them are already hurt. You know, Jackson Dart starting his fifth game in the NFL. That sounds like something Robert Saleh should be able to take advantage of, does it not? You're bringing in a new piece. Keon White, and I believe Cleveland Farrell, who was added to the practice squad, Kruger thinks so too. He'll be called up, and he'll be on this roster on game day. So a couple of new pieces to just improve a pass rush that was absolutely non-existent in Houston, sure. I'm really happy that the 49ers made a deal before they got to New York, because this is a big kind of fork in the road game of just the math of the year. If at the end of 9 weeks, the 49ers are sitting at 6-3, perfect. Nailed it. Absolutely, through survival mode being the mode, you've survived. You've done more than just survive, by the way. You're thriving might be a bit of a stretch there, but you know, you're well positioned. Staying well positioned when the only position most of this team has been in is in the prone and hurt injury position, laying in a gurney. You'll take 6-3 through 9 weeks with the vast majority of it all being played deep in your depth chart. And it sounds like it's Mac Jones once again, and it needs to be. It needs to be Mac Jones once again, because they need to continue to get the rest that Brock Purdy needs for this turf toe. And again, this morning, I was talking about this with Kruger, and I want to talk about it with you as well. If you didn't get to watch any Wake Up, let me just tell you. Oh, wait a minute. We got to currently in London. We'll see how they celebrate Halloween out here. I think you're going to get an awful lot of cleavage served up in London to you tonight. So enjoy that, huge Husky Bear. Enjoy your international travel. By the way, whenever you go ahead and you watch this show internationally, that's a huge compliment. Thank you very, very much. I don't know what the time difference is there. Chef A, can't wait to see Damon in his chicken costume. I almost put it on. I'm going to throw on the chicken costume and go to the kids' school parade here when we're done this afternoon. See, Jillian's going to see this and she's going to say, I told you should have worn the chicken costume. People want the chicken costume. Handle your business. Run the football. That's how you win in New York. You win in New York by running against a team that doesn't do a very good job at stopping the run at all. As I was saying, you look at the Giants defense, and you see Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns and Abdul Carter, the rookie, and Kayvon Thibodeau, and they got some pretty big names and some talented guys. But guess what? Guess who ain't producing that unit at all when it comes to stopping the run? There is no worse unit than that, really, in all of football. The Giants' defense has faced the lowest inside run percentage in the NFL at 40.3% and has the worst EPA against outside runs. So go get your yardage on the ground. The Eagles ran all over the New York Giants. And it wasn't just Saquon Barkley who did that. If you wore Eagles wings on your helmet, you were averaging like better than 8 yards a carry against the Giants last week. Eagles took Cam Scataboo, sadly, out of this mix. It would have been fun to see him. You know, you never want to beat a team because their best player is injured. But Scataboo is at this exciting moment at the dawn of his career. It's taken away from him. Malik Nabers, exciting moment, still early in his career, taken away from him. two out of three young Giants players bad injuries early in their careers. For every step forward this franchise takes, they take a step backwards. You know, that's a brutal existence to be a New York Giants fan lately. Don't let them off the mat. Do not let them off the mat if you are the Giants. Or if you're the 49ers, run all over them, man. Run all over them. I hope you're wrong here, by the way. Kyle will call 50 throws. Watch. He better not. This is not the week to do that. And I'll tell you, you talk about things you worry about. I am worried about that MetLife graveyard that so many players have gotten injured on. You know, and Larry did point out correctly, they have changed the turf. This isn't the turf that Bosa tore his knee up on a couple of years ago, and that season came to an end. But it's still doing damage. It's like the New York Giants built MetLife Stadium just to keep terrible fields alive in the NFC East after they tore the Vet down. I mean, the Vet was basically a green AstroTurf carpet on concrete. I don't know if they've done that much better of a job at MetLife Stadium. Run the football. Run the football. And Keon White, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got for the 49ers? If you've got one pressure, if you've got one sack, you've got more than what this team had in Houston. I mean, that was a C.J. Stroud doesn't need to do laundry game for the Houston Texans. 49ers, man. If they get any little bump in pass rush or pressure, Keon White's already worth his weight in gold. And I tell you, the more I look at that trade, the more I see it gives the Niners a chance to maybe do another deal before the fourth. They have not shopped in any expensive aisle. I don't necessarily even think they should be shopping in a very expensive aisle. You know, in a year where it began with the concept of austerity is the game plan, going away from that game plan now, probably not the time to do it. John Lynch this week said he doesn't want to trade for a player who isn't under contract, who's going to hit the market next year. So it feels like Trey Hendrickson Jr. is definitely off that list now. And they got to take him off that list anyways because the Bengals cannot trade him. They can't. Not and keep that locker room focused. So that's not going to happen. But if it does, you're going to want to be rooting for the Chicago Bears this weekend because the Bears are in Cincinnati. And if the Bengals really are going to push the blow it up button, the Chicago Bears win this weekend and maybe they'll be looking for that button. I don't think they will. And again, I think John Lynch has basically told us, I'm not doing a trade of that magnitude. And I'm not even going to say that that's the wrong thing to do. Can you still flip a late pick and a bucket of balls to Tennessee for Arden Key? Can you do that? I think that's doable. I think that could happen before the fourth, just another body in to play along this defensive line and a guy, again, who's familiar. That's why Cleveland Farrell is a nice little piece here. He's familiar with what the 49ers do. So it is great to have you here. Please hit like and subscribe if you have not already. We are growing the channel. We're trying to get to 50,000. We got our friend Sam Batesh coming by soon here. Looking forward to it. I think that this team has done a pretty good job paddling through the choppy waters of this year. And I mean, all you got to do is look around this league and see teams that aren't good at paddling through choppy waters everywhere. You see some teams that the minute the going gets rough, it all falls apart every single time. The Niners, give them some credit, man. They have held this thing together with some scotch tape, with some good luck with that. And, you know, there's been some frustration along the way too, but for the most part, it's been a pretty damn good year. It's been a pretty damn good year for the 49ers for the most part. Get the job done in New York. Be 6-3. And can we get some legitimate rest for Brock Purdy? You know, if you're going back to him, if you're going to go back to this guy, but you don't want to go back too soon because you might re-aggravate anything, why are you even letting him practice on a limited basis? I really don't understand it. I really do not understand why the 49ers aren't just telling Brock, dude, sit down. Sit down, stay right there. Here's a lawn chair. Here's a cocktail. Watch practice. I don't want you participating in practice. I don't want you limited participating. I don't want you participating other than observing. Do you know how to rest? Like, do you even know how to put your feet up on an ottoman? I could help. I could show you how to do this. I want to see Juwan Jennings contribute again this week. Feels like Juwan Jennings has just been dobbered down for a few many weeks in a row here. It's time to get him re-involved. It's time to get Juwan Jennings back to being Juwan Jennings, and he is hurting that mid, you know, his midsection, the ribs. There's no doubt. He is not state-of-the-art right now. Got to get involved. I would like to see a little George Kittle force-fed a tiny bit. Not, you know, it's a day where running the football is the right thing to do, which means play action should absolutely be on the table for the 49ers. A big play action game, I think, is sitting right there, especially if they are having success against the run with McCaffrey. Let's get Brian Robinson Jr. some touches. It can't be all Christian. McCaffrey's on pace for 500 touches this year. That's, you can't do that. And expect to, oh, you know, hey, Brock does get healthy again, but unfortunately now McCaffrey's on the shelf. We have not seen the 49ers yet this year. We haven't seen them once yet. Through 8 games, we still haven't seen the San Francisco 49ers, and in many ways, we won't this year. Because are you really looking at this team with no Nick Bosa, with no Fred Warner? You know, Tatum Bethune, go get some, kid. Nick Martin, I hope you hit the field this week. I really do. I'd like to see Jordan Watkins get on the field and be used. No Ricky Pearsall again this week. Get me Jordan Watkins involved. And if it's not going to be him, get DeMarcus Robinson involved. And if it's not going to be him, get Kendrick Bourne involved. You know, it feels like a guy has a big week one week, and then the next week, it's hard to even see them in the game plan. Very interesting week 9 is ahead of us. Very interesting week 9. There are a few games out there that are officially different than the rest. Some news and notes, though, on this is, you know, just shows you, man, this league is freaking brutal. And bad things can happen without anybody even touching you. Did you see the news coming out of Jacksonville this morning? Travis Hunter is heading to IR. He hurt his knee yesterday, Thursday. In Jaguars practice, he was just coming off of his best offensive game before the bye week in London, where he had a handful of catches, a touchdown, over 100 yards receiving. He's playing cornerback too. Like, he just played his real first, hey, that mattered game, even though the Jaguars did not look good. He did. Non-contact injury, and he's on IR. He's going to miss at least the next 4 weeks. So blink your eyes, man, and things can change very, very quick in this league. Travis Hunter heading to IR right now. Looking around week 9, dude, if you are a 49er fan, I got to tell you, you have become a Vikings and a Panthers fan this week. Vikings are at the Lions, Panthers are at the Packers, and those are two teams that you're now chasing down from behind. You know, the Vikings handing the Lions a loss that they're not expecting at home, or the Panthers showing that the Packers are not this completely well-rounded, unimpeachable team that is on its way of being built. Let's see what Carolina looks like. Let's see what the Vikings can do, if they can help the 49ers a little bit this week. We got a big, big AFC powerhouse matchup. We got Chiefs and Bills. That's the premier AFC heavyweight title. When Sammy does come in here today, I'm sure one of the things he is going to tell you quickly is that his prediction that Lamar and the Ravens being dead and buried was, or not being dead and buried, that they were going to come back and be heard from. He seems to be a little bit right about that. Let me just tell you, the Miami Dolphins, are the Miami Dolphins doing anything but waiting to fire Mike McDaniel at this point? Like, that's assured, right? I mean, it is not working. And the frustration really officially seemed to boil over onto the sidelines. You could see the frustration in a pretty calm Mike McDaniel sort of boil over it a few times. He went nuts when they had a false start at 4th-and-1 on home. Ravens fans were drowning out the Dolphins on 4th-and-1 in Miami. So that pissed off everybody. It ain't looking good for Mike McDaniel. Which, again, the minute he gets fired in Miami, if I'm Jed York, I got a private plane waiting for him on the tarmac just saying, hey, come on home. You, Shanahan, Robert Saleh, we're getting the band back together. Why not? Why not? Might not be the right head coach. Might not be a head coach. But offensive ideas? Let's talk, Mike. Let's talk. Sunday Night Football gives the Seahawks at Commanders. Terry McLaurin ruled out this week. You'd love to see the Commanders give the Seahawks a loss. The rest of the NFC West will play itself out on Monday Night Football. Cardinals are at the Cowboys this upcoming weekend. So it is going to be very, very the interesting week around the NFL. Again, we are at that halfway point where the amount of games that you got left to get things right, well, that's starting to that number's starting to shrink now. And the way that the NFL's year has sort of looked, it's about to cross over into that. Now you're running out of room. Two things, though, became clear on Thursday night. The Ravens are absolutely not done yet. And the Miami Dolphins, they are. Well, look, I told Sammy that we didn't have that much time to get things up and on the air today because I got to go be a dad. I got to go to a young parade of Halloween costumes that is happening at my kids' elementary school. I got to go put on a chicken outfit. So I really hope that Sam can get in here quickly today. I don't think I communicated to him how short this one was needed to be. So, yeah, and Christopher, you got this right. Being a dad, more important than everything else. I love this channel. I love my audience. Thank you so much for being here. I got to go be a dad on Halloween in just a little bit. I kind of got to go. Are you ready for a little history? Are you ready for a little today in history? I hope you indeed are. We got some happy birthdays. Let me just buy a little bit more time for Sammy to maybe pop in here for just saying or something. Hey, Twitch stream. We got Twitch weighing in for the first time since we started putting shows back up on Twitch. Hello. Good to have you. Go Toronto Blue Jays. Go Toronto Blue Jays. Get it done. Get it done tonight. Get it done. You don't want to see the Dodgers in a game 7. I got to tell you, I got this one wrong. I thought after that game 3 dramatic absolutely dramatic 18-inning Dodger win that was basically going to kill the Blue Jays right then and there. The total opposite has happened. The Toronto Blue Jays, since Game 3 ended, look like they want to fight everybody in the Dodgers dugout, in the Dodgers stadium, in the Dodgers parking lot. They look super frisky and angry. The Dodgers, meanwhile, just look mentally and physically exhausted since that Game 3 ended. Toronto taking 2-3 in L.A. Who would have thought? You can take your $150 tomahawk ribeye, which, by the way, looked like dog food. That tomahawk ribeye that they're selling at Dodger Stadium looked like it just lost 2-3 to the Toronto Blue Jays, and Ohtani went from 9 times on base to 0-3 and takes the loss. Let's go Toronto. Get it done. Let's go Toronto. Get it done. Get it done. Oh, look. Oh, my God. We got another person watching over on Twitch. Two people watching on Twitch today. Thank you very, very much. Oh, this is sweet. Tough Dog, you're a legend. Hardly. But we're survivors. We don't stop. And neither does history. History rolls on. Always. Today in history, we always start with birthdays. Happy birthday, Dan Rather. 94 years old for Dan Rather. Happy birthday, Nick Saban. Nick, want to come back for that LSU job? I don't know. Worked out for him there before. No, I don't think he's coming back. What a mess they got at LSU. They fired their athletic director. Peter Jackson, the guy who gave you all three Lord of the Rings films, turned 64 today. But more important than anything else, more important than anything else today, is that it's Vanilla Ice's birthday. Now, I told you, we were going to have a short one today, and maybe Sammy wasn't going to join us before this one was over. I didn't tell Sam how fast it was going to go. He doesn't care. Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
Oh, my God.
You know, when you do Kings postgame, there's just all sorts of goalie masks just hanging around the studio for you. And on Halloween, boy, do they come in handy.
It's perfect, right? I mean, look, I'm a huge, huge horror movie guy, D. Bruce. And I would love to hear from people in the chat what they think of that as well, because it is a glorious, glorious holiday. And I am thrilled to be here with you for this. And what an amazing weekend we have in the NFL. But happy Halloween. A Friday Halloween is next level. And I'm sure Ozzy and Jack are fired up, right?
And that's the thing. We got a parade that begins now in less than an hour at Jack's Elementary School, means I got to wrap this up here, Sammy. You said you're coming in. I got to get going here today.
That's right. Tell me what time. What do we got? We got 15 minutes left. What do we got?
Yeah, we can hang out for another 15 minutes because, you know, didn't get any of your galactic hot takes on what is a very interesting week 9, starting with 49ers and Giants. Run the football, get a win. It is to handle your business week. I'm tired of the 49ers being in survival mode only. I think it's the last week in survival mode, hopefully, for the 49ers. Now, Brock Purdy's toe, Ricky Pearsall's knee, Brandon Ayuk's recovery. A lot to still happen out there. They add Keon White. Go to New York. Handle your business. That's a bad Giants team. This should be a 49er win this weekend.
Now, you heard what Sala said about Dart, right? I mean, he's pretty fired up about seeing Dart. He seems to say that this guy can make a difference and could absolutely beat this team, which he could. We've seen the Giants. I mean, the Giants beat the Eagles. Anything is possible. But based on what happened in Denver with that collapse and based on what we saw from the Giants last weekend, I can't imagine, because in that rematch what happened to Scadaboo, considering what this team could have been with Dart, with Neighbors, with Scadaboo, and now to see that devastating injury from Scadaboo, which, by the way, speaking of Halloween, that was brutal to watch. But that tells me that absolutely the Niners should take care of this. However, this Niners team, that was a rough one last week. That was level setting in many ways.
By the way, just because it's requested that Buff sucks, you just got deleted and blocked. You got put in a timeout. You need new material, son. you know, when you come in with the same three comments every week, you need new material. Seriously, you need new material. So I'm going to put you in a timeout. You go work on some new material. Maybe we'll see you next show. Just the same asshole statements over here. Where's Bosa? Where's Warner? Yeah, that was funny 3 weeks ago. It's a tired joke now. It's a tired joke. Anyway.
Nobody needs that. But by the way, I wanted to say this, Dean. I'm sure you've talked a lot this week about it. But how surprising. That Houston game was stunning for me for two reasons. Number one, Houston looked so inept offensively through nearly every other game this season and seemed to get it all right in the first half against the Niners.
It's like they perform CPR on a dead offense.
That is their greatest win of the season. If they turn the season around, it's based on that game and that game alone. I thought defensively there were numerous breakdowns for the Niners. I was just so shocked that game didn't turn the way that I completely thought it would. I I've told you the AFC-NFC thing, how I feel, right? Those out-of-conference games, a little less important. But after losing to Jacksonville, I'm not going to chalk up Houston as a win on the road, but that was nearly the most surprising game of the weekend.
It's rare to watch the 49ers be rendered helpless.
Oh,
they were helpless in the first half. Helpless. So again, just burn the tape, put it behind you, trade for Keon before you get to do something before you get to New York to get a little bit better. John Lynch did. I don't think Keon White is about to be a Pro Bowler or anything like that, but if he could put two pressures and one sack on Jackson Dart, that's two more pressures and one more sack than anyone who wore a Niner uniform last week was able to put on CJ Stroud. So I'm glad that they did a little something. I don't know if they're going to get, they got another little something left in them. If they beat New York, maybe they do. If they don't, you're probably not, you know, investing anymore in the year. One of the things that I did want to ask you about, though, Sam, and I'm glad that you showed up here, is the way that they're going about getting Brock Purdy back in the mix here. They keep on limiting him in practice when what he needs is no practice at all. Do you know how to put your foot up and rest? Like, do you understand that what get off your feet means? Get off your feet doesn't mean let's go through practice in a limited capacity. It means don't practice. And I'm not sure why the 49ers, who can look around and basically all agree with each other, are we terrible in terms of how we deal with injuries or just injury bad luck? Like, do you think we should do something a little different just in this guy's case? Brock, sit down, relax, please do not practice. Don't let him go out on the field.
And Mac Jones has played well. We've said this. We know Mac Jones is not going to be the quarterback through the entirety of this season, but Mac Jones can get you through six games, and we're at five, I believe, at this point. But even if it came down to it, having a healthy Mac is still better than Brock. We saw what happened in the Jacksonville game. You cannot let that happen again, and you cannot jeopardize coming back too soon for Brock Purdy. You need peak Brock Purdy at this point in the season. And yes, look, I'm not the guy who likes to dissect injuries before they happen, but if we're talking about a training staff at this point, nobody is calling the Niners for recommendations on their training staff.
No.
Nobody. Over the last two seasons, the number one story for the Niners, who are a Super Bowl contending team, they are supposed to be a favorite to win the NFC. This year coming in, it was Eagles, Lions, Niners. That was the line out of Vegas coming into the season. And look at what's happening in regards to injuries. You cannot lose your two faces on defense in a season and say it's going well, considering you lost all of your faces on offense the season before. You cannot say that. In fact, I'm so upset. I'm taking off the mask. I cannot. And I was not like this, Damon. I did not care about injuries. You're the one who was always harping on injuries and saying, well, let's not talk about it before it happens, right? But now that it happened, now that Bosa and Warner are gone for the season and you're racking up other injuries and considering what's going on with the wide receivers, it is impossible not to simply point a finger at this point at something that is happening.
Well, and it's like they're trying to take Christian McCaffrey and speak an injury into existence. They're overusing him to the point where it needs to cool off a little bit. And I got McCaffrey carrying my entire fantasy season. I want him to get as many touches as possible.
Of course, of course.
I want him to touch the ball 555 times before the playoffs start.
This is being mismanaged currently. I will say the number one thing that went right, though, And I was not as excited about it at the time as you were, because I didn't want to talk about Mac Jones as a starter when you did. You were excited right when Mac Jones landed. I said, Mac Jones is exactly what he is. He's a backup quarterback. This is Marcus Mariota. This is Kirk Cousins. There's not, I don't need, like, I'm not going to sit here and talk about what Mac Jones did in New England 3 seasons ago when they got destroyed by the Bills in the playoffs. I'm not getting excited about Mac Jones. Eat my words. Mac Jones, if we're talking best backup quarterback this season, is there any question?
No, I mean, I just did this with Kruger. I said, when we go back through NFL history and we start to evaluate backup quarterback performances, Mac Jones might compile a list of stats here that has him right on top of one of the best backup quarterback seasons we've seen in modern football.
I mean, again, you got Jeff Hostetler winning a Super Bowl as a backup. You got Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl as a backup. Okay, fine. Obviously, that's going to top the charts. But outside of that, right, when I look recently,
the key for all of that happening was not pushing it. You know, Jeff Hostetler on one afternoon can win you. Jeff Hostetler 8 weeks in a row.
No,
you might be 2-6, but on any day, you know, Jeff came out and had a good Super Bowl. Congratulations. And it's the same thing with Nick Foles. How's Nick Foles doing right now as a starting quarterback?
Nick Foles got a massive contract in Jacksonville and it ended. I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, Nick Foles followed up the next season, stepped in for Wentz again and led the Eagles to the playoffs. And that was it. That's the end of what Nick Foles really has done in this league.
Anyone who disrespects Chef A is done. I didn't even see the Chef A disrespect for Buffalo. I'm tired of repetitive jokes. Chef A disrespected? You're dead to me.
No, that's it. You're absolutely gone. I can't believe it. By the way, have we mentioned that now? Look, as much as I want to talk about the Niners, the only one other thing I want to say about the Niners, where do we stand on Juwan Jennings? Because the trade deadline is a real thing. This is going to be a question. There's going to be a team out there that thinks Juwan Jennings, not as a number one, but as a number three, is going to make that difference on a playoff run. And that is going to be a conversation for John Lynch.
I don't think it's going to happen. Basically, Shanahan this week said, I don't think Juwan Jennings is going to be in another uniform this year. And I don't think they can afford, they need Juwan Jennings to play well more than they need to trade him.
Okay, fine. Fair. But are we getting that? Well, actually, let's go back. We need him to be healthy.
Yes. Well, I mean, what Niner do you not need that for at this particular
I just don't understand how that's the story with every freaking guy we're talking about. I know you're not thrilled about, you know, where Brian Robinson's use is also, and that's been interesting, but I don't think it's even worth harping on anything other than exactly what we said in regards to the injuries. One other game, if we're limited on time, I just have to add, like, Chiefs Bills, where are we with that and what it means?
Do you want a bigger heavyweight title fight in the AFC? You cannot find one. That's a big one.
The beauty of it also, though, can I say that the beauty of it,
here's what I just know. Josh Allen always loses that game. Always. Always loses that game. Until he doesn't, I'm not going to assume he won't.
Josh Allen is good.
It's not his fault. Like, Josh Allen walked off the field with the lead, and then Mahomes got him in 30 seconds or whatever it was.
13.
13 seconds. Thank you.
Did I say 30? Yeah, he's
beaten him by 2 touchdowns that day.
But how about this? Josh Allen actually, Damon, to push back, finds a way to win this game. The problem is what happens in 2.5 months. Josh Allen is fine with winning this game in the regular season. It's the game in the divisional and the championship round that hasn't been solved. That's the one that we're worried about. Frankly, I think Buffalo at home is, I think Buffalo on paper largely stacks out as the better team here still. I see Buffalo winning this game.
Better running game. I mean, Cook is having an awesome year.
Cook's having an unreal season. For everyone who thought, oh, no big deal, they signed Cook. Are they going to sign him? They can survive without him. You're the one that says it. The Bills, offensively, there's not a ton of weapons there. Yes, Josh Allen's going to make up for a lot, but if Cook's not having the season he is, I'm sorry, Buffalo's not in this conversation the way they are. But what I love about this game most is, remember when Kansas City was 0-2? Do you remember when the Chiefs, we hadn't quite put them in the ground because we're never going to be stupid enough to do that, but this Chiefs team is at a peak for this game right now. I love that there are no question marks, that the Chiefs are at that level, that the Bills are at that level. They got the Falcons thing behind them at this point. You and I thought Carolina was going to show something against the Bills, and the Bills just said, forget about that.
Yeah.
Forget about that. And this is not a look ahead to the Chiefs either, right? Because that was another thing that we could have brought up. Carolina could have been a clear look ahead at a conference game before your biggest game on the schedule with your number one rival. And instead, they smashed the Panthers to tell everyone, no, 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 this is the heavyweight match that we thought it would be.
As I was saying before you got here, Sam, if you're a Niner fan this weekend, you want to be rooting for the Vikings and the Panthers. Vikings are at the Lions. Panthers are at the Packers. You want to stay on that lead lap. You want to freeze them at five wins while you get to six. So let's see what happens. Plus, you know, that Panthers, the Panthers are coming up here on the schedule. Who are they? What team are you going to get that week, a couple weeks from now? This week goes a long way to explaining that game. Seahawks at Commanders on Sunday Night Football. Cardinals at Cowboys on Monday Night Football. So we're going to have to wait until we get into November to see what the NFC West looks like. And it's a very interesting week. And I got to give you full credit, Sam. Every now and then you get some shit right. It's why we love having you here. Just saying, I think you might be right about the Ravens. 3 weeks ago, you were saying that the Ravens were going to win their division. And guess what? I think we're on that path. I think, did Lamar stabilize things last night? I mean, maybe the Dolphins are easy pickings, but looked good.
He didn't just look good. He looked like the leader of that team. As much as you would think, you'd like to think that it's defense, right? The Ravens have been built in regards to us just being trained to think that it's about their defense and that their defense can sustain certain things. But what we found out is no. This is about Lamar. 2019 Lamar MVP Ravens is going to still be the peak of what we've ever seen out of him. And of course, he followed it up with another MVP season. But I'm thinking about the game. I remember him smashing the Rams at the Coliseum on Monday Night Football that season. And it was just like, wow. And the Rams were significant. McVay, it's the worst loss still of McVay's career. The worst loss of his career. The Ravens came into the Coliseum and wiped them out. It's not bold that I'm saying it's Lamar's team. What I'm saying is when you see him focused in that way, where obviously he knows he's got to prove everybody wrong. He's been on the bench. This team's got one shot at doing it this season. They got to basically run the table now. They can't trip up. Remember, the Ravens love to give away leads also. So in that game, as much as it looked out of hand last night, they've lost games like that to the Raiders in Baltimore two seasons ago. Okay. So it's possible for them to blow something like that. And instead, Lamar says, I am here. And there are no more hiccups. That's what you saw last night. This is for real. And the real shame of this, Damon, is that you and I didn't take $100 out that day and say, who do we know in Vegas? Here's $100 Ravens to win the NFC North, the AFC North, back when it actually could have given us some major cash.
By the way, we do know a guy in Vegas to lay those bets for us, but we did not call him. And I'm going to tell you right now, JT the Brick, we love this guy so very, very much. Who has a more lost in the woods football team to be associated with than our good friend? I got a little, Sammy, we got this one wrong.
I got egg on my face.
If you got Lamar and the Ravens right, we both absolutely got Pete Carroll is going to be the hand that, if not delivers the Raiders to the winning column, delivers them to at least a column of credibility that they can then enjoy for the first time in a long time. And Geno, stabilizing force, it's going to, if not work, it's at least going to have them off the clown car circuit onto the you're a football team trying the best you can every single week. How about this from Josh Dubow of the AP? Happy anniversary to the Raiders. Today is the day, 2 years ago, they fired Josh McDaniels. 2 years ago today, the Raiders' winning percentage with Josh McDaniels was .330. Since firing Josh McDaniels, the Raiders winning percentage is, it was .360 with him. It's been .333 without him.
That's disgusting.
They got rid of Josh McDaniels and have gotten patently worse with less hope because even as Antonio Pierce was failing, you could say, well, he represents the future and tomorrow. Pete Carroll represents neither of those things, nor has he represented a culture change. So that means the Raiders need to let go of their coach now, and they're just waiting for the moment when that happens. And if they wait through the entirety of this year, just out of respect for Pete, they flushed a year. And if they don't want to just go one and done with Pete. They're going to flush next year too, because there will be no year three, year four of Pete Carroll there. So what are you even doing? When you know you're invested in the wrong stock, get out of it.
Let me do everybody a favor. We don't have it cut up from what I said 2 months ago, but I'm just going to recreate it right here. I am so fired up on the Raiders. I am absolutely on the bandwagon. You cannot bring Pete Carroll and that pedigree in here. You cannot pay your offensive coordinator $6 million in Chip Kelly and screw this up. You're bringing in Geno Smith, who has resurrected his career and did it already with Pete Carroll once, and you've got the most exciting player from this draft without question in regards to plugging in and playing and making a difference every single Sunday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, whatever you got Monday. Ashton Jeanty is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Mark it down right now. There's no question about it. The Raiders are going to compete. Watch out, Broncos. Watch out, Chiefs. Watch out, Chargers. The Raiders are absolutely for real, and they're going to make a difference this season.
No.
Wow.
Oops. Oops.
31-0.
And it was worse than that.
Was it three first downs to 30? Was it three first downs to 30? It was something as bad as, by the way. So we love JT the Brick as a brother, and he went on an absolute tirade about that game. I love him for it. For those that haven't seen it, check out JT the Brick's Twitter account. He eviscerated the Raiders. It was awesome.
Well, the thing is though, it's Mark. I mean, how do you replace an owner? You can't, you don't.
I don't even know. I mean, it's like on paper, everything I just said 40 seconds ago on paper is something you could actually convince yourself is going to be the future. Chip Kelly, Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, Ashton Jeanty, Max Crosby. Like there's something in there that you'd say, wow. And again, facelift from what the team was a year ago, right? Like who's made more changes? Even Pittsburgh doesn't look as different as the Raiders on paper.
Corporal Tez says, what's worse, a curse of injuries like us or a curse of irrelevance like the Jets or the Raiders? Oh, you take the curse of injuries any single time. That's the thing. Bad luck eventually, hopefully, does come to an end. I don't think institutional incompetence that begins from the owner's suite is something that you can overcome. And how about this? If adding Tom Brady to the mix.
I didn't even mention that in my title. Oh, my God.
If adding Tom Brady to the mix doesn't even bring you an inch closer to credibility, like what exactly will, you know?
Even Tom Brady right now is doing the Homer backing up into the weeds, right? Like,
right into the bush. By the way, San Bruno Mike, thank you very much for a super. He says, I once heard a wise man say the best time to get out of a bad decision is right away. The best time to get rid of an investment you don't like is today. It'll be better than tomorrow. And that's business. And business can be cruel and insensitive, but there are some rules to this shit.
It's just devastating. The other thing I want to say in regards to irrelevance, I'm going to make a promise to this awesome audience that you have built on YouTube. And thanks to your page. And thanks for those of you that are watching on Thinking Out Loud, Siciliano and Sam. We're live on Instagram as well. And let's just say to everybody in the comments, we're not allowed to speak about the Atlanta Falcons anymore.
There will be no discussion of the Atlanta Falcons. No, nothing to say. But it is time for Just Saying. Sammy, I'm glad you got in here. I know that you wanted to say a little something about Game 6 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. I'm just saying that's the worst-looking $150 tomahawk steak I have ever seen Dodger Stadium. That thing was gray, ugly. That steak looked like it dropped 2 or 3 at home in the World Series. So no more tomahawks. We have played our final game of the year at Dodger Stadium. Does this end tonight, or will we get a Game 7 where every card you could think of on the deck could be played?
Two Just Sayings. Number one, Damon probably has the best joke on social media yesterday with when you took the Arash Markazi steak And then you said, yes, that steak looked like it just lost 2 of 3 at home in the World Series. So yeah. Bad look for
Morales. I got a Morales on that one.
A big shout out for Morales. He loved that take. And it was a great one. It is a great one. For those that haven't seen it, please check out Damon on socials because it's an absolutely savage Damon blast.
Twitter is
this guy's a beauty on Twitter. So my just saying on this though is, Damon, you follow a team in baseball pretty closely named the Chicago Cubs.
Yay.
The last time a team came back from a 3-2 deficit with 2 wins on the road was those Chicago Cubs, who had to come back after giving up the lead late, thanks to Rajay Davis, to win that game the way they did in extras in Game 7. And what a moment it was, and what a curse ended for the history of the Cubs. Obviously, we'll never forget that. Obviously, Siciliano, the Indians fan, will definitely never forget that, the 3-1 lead and the 3-2 lead and everything that happened there. But Dodgers don't have to win two.
Kevin wanted to lose that game.
Oh,
would not let him.
Would not happen. Aroldis Chapman be damned. It would not happen. So the Dodgers do not have to win two games. They have to win one game, right? That's the mentality. They've got the right guy on the mound in regards to Yamamoto, back-to-back complete game wins in the playoffs right now. So you got to think you're feeling good about 6 innings out of Yamamoto for this Game 6. I hate to say, oh, they're going to win this game and let's talk about Game 7. I just want to say, I'll put my little prediction out there. Dodgers are going to force a Game 7, and I see Shohei pulling a little bit of what Walker Buehler did last season, a starter who comes in relief to make a difference. And I believe the rule says that Shohei can start as a DH, come into the game, and remain in the game if he then, after being the pitcher, remains in the field. So he could essentially pitch for about 5 innings and come back and play maybe right field or something. Now, he's done that. He did it as an Angel. And I believe Major League Baseball even changed the rule for him that he can be a DH. He can come into the game and pitch, and he can go back to being DH. I believe that is the Shohei rule that was instated. But either way, the Dodgers will get creative, and that's what's going to happen.
By the way, Clownman says, Sammy's got that Elon Musk internet connection. Damon, you're hazy. What the fuck is going on with my camera?
How could that happen? Yeah, you know what? Actually, you do look a little. Yeah, you know what? You do.
What pisses me off is that this camera, which I'm told is an expensive camera by my wife, it'll be working just fine, and then in the middle of a show, we'll just turn into this shit.
It's garbage. We cannot have that. We cannot have that.
Anyways, I got to get going here.
Let's do it, D.
Sammy, we didn't get to talk to you the night that the Kings and Sharks actually played. That happened this week. I know you did the post game for that. Let me tell you, Sharks beat the Devils last night. Here's what doesn't even matter. I don't care if they're winning or losing. And I know we're not about to talk like hockey here. 19 of San Jose's past 24 goals have been scored by a player 23 years or younger. That's a rebuild. That's good. I don't care if they win or lose. Young guys score goals. We'll talk to you all next year about winning hockey games.
And let me just say, Damon, poster on the wall, player to watch right now, get behind it. Macklin Celebrini, a superstar. The future of this league rides on Macklin Celebrini. I've already called it a celebration when he scores. They are going to be celebrating in San Jose based on Macklin Celebrini. This guy is signing up right now. He is on the Connor Bedard level. He's going to be in conversations that they're having about Connor McDavid right now. He's that good.
Router reset. That's what IT is saying. Router reset, Damon. You need a router reset. I would agree. That probably is going to do it. All right, Sammy, we get back to today in history. I'm so glad that you were able to join us. Happy birthday to the state of Nevada. Oh, my God. 1864, Nevada became the 36th state. And I'll tell you, for 161 years old, you don't look a day over 160. You really don't. Very nice. Today. In 1913, Sammy, we went cross-continental. The dedication of the Lincoln Highway, which starts in Times Square in New York City and ended in Lincoln Park, San Francisco, was officially dedicated today, the Lincoln Highway. Do you roll with the Lincoln Highway, yes or no?
So first of all, I haven't spent enough time on it. I have been on it, but I would love, I have not done, have you done the cross country, by the way, Damon? You've driven a lot of places. You took a red Mustang convertible from San Francisco to Bristol, Connecticut. So I know you've done a lot.
In winter. I mean, that's the right time to show up with a really bad car for the winter. Anyway, I don't think the Lincoln Highway is even out there anymore.
It's isn't, like, right? I don't. Yeah.
Respect to good old fashioned highways.
Yes.
Today in 1941, speaking of dedications, I give you boom, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Not bad.
Rushmore dedicated today. And they said they finished it. And that's what they said. They were going to do the whole bodies, by the way. Did you know that? That the Mount Rushmore was supposed to be all physical portraits.
When are they going to finish that up? They're still getting back out there for that. Good start, everybody.
We're good. We're wrapping it up right here.
Fill it in with AI. I mean, we could do that. We could put whatever outfit we want on in AI. That's great. Is it amazing that, by the way, because of the time we've spent in sports, is it amazing that at this point, Mount Rushmore, to me, truly, truly in my brain, means we're about to talk about the best players for a certain franchise more than it does presidents.
It's a sports topic more than it is a national monument.
It's not a political conversation. It is a sports conversation, Mount Rushmore. Nobody's arguing about what other presidents could be up there. I'm only arguing whether LeBron should be on there for the Lakers. Like, that's the only conversation that happens anymore.
How many absolutely terrible local sports talk radio shows are going to do your what's your favorite Halloween candy segment today?
Now, should we jump in? I mean, 100 grand's pretty good. I'm a big fan. What's the new one that Reese's does? I'm a big fan of the Take Five. No, it's horrible.
Kathy Kilmeier. You don't mind me saying Kathy Kilmeier, old school KNBR.
Special K. Special K.
Kathy Kilmeier. Special K was someone totally
different. That's right. Karen, you're right. You're right. But Kathy Kilmeier, remember also, yes.
She had those Take Fives out there. I mean, you get the salty sweet. It's very okay. So we just did the terrible segment that I said cannot happen. That's fine. What else we got today? Happy Incorporation Day to frickin' Walmart today in 1969. That formed in Arkansas. What would America is Walmart? I mean, like nothing represents who we are more than that piece of shit thing that everyone is addicted to, because we're all it's just enough poverty stricken that we can all afford to fucking shop there. Walmart, nothing fancy, nothing classy. Here you are, pathetically average American. You'll never be more than a Walmart shopper. I fucking hate Walmart and respect it all at the same time.
I respect it. It's overwhelming. I feel like I have to prepare before I go to Walmart. I have to be ready for what I'm going to experience, and I have to be ready to know what I want, because you cannot wander in there. You are lost. You are on a milk carton if you wander in Walmart.
Fucking Walmart.
It's overwhelming.
Today in 2011 is the day that Earth crossed into 7 billion people living. By the way, here we are many years later. We're only at 8.2. We're only at 8.2, which proves we have officially reached generation doesn't even know how to talk to a chick. Generation sexless is what's coming up behind us. You know, you got guys out there today who know more about K-pop demon hunters than they do how to talk to a woman. And we're talking about 24, 25-year-old guys. So I'm going to send you all out this Halloween with this. Talk to a girl. See what happens. See what happens if you actually politely, courteously express interest in a girl. If it is received, fantastic. If it's not, go buy another lottery ticket. It's a night full of scratchers. Oh, it's Halloween. If you can't find a little makeout sesh on Halloween as a single guy, you got no game, dude. You got to turn in all your quarters and get out of the fucking arcade. You got nothing if you can't meet a girl tonight.
My number one holiday, Halloween. And it's essentially for the reason you just said. I mean, every single girl is bringing it tonight. Yeah. All right. Bringing the A game.
101 on the black cut, all fastballs tonight from the ladies. It is amazing how much Halloween changes in your life. It goes from, hey, I'm just excited to be putting on a costume. I want to be a cute little kid, to now I want to express myself as a little kid. And I'm going to tell you that I want to be a ninja. You're going to see that reflected in my costume choices as we get older. Then it's going to be, all right, we're here for titties. In your 20, you're here for titties, and it's fantastic, and it works. And then you get married and you start your couples costume phase.
Me and Allie did it.
Jillian and I think nailed it a few years ago with the Captain and Coke. I dressed like an airline pilot. She dressed like a can of Coke.
Brilliant. I did Joker and Harley Quinn with Allie. That was our couples one that we did.
Yes, great couples costume.
Yep. We nailed that one. That was great.
Did you go old school Joker? Did you do Jack?
I went Suicide Squad. I actually went Suicide because
the least likable of all the Jokers.
But Jared Leto, I just go back and watch Jared Leto. He's in that movie very little, but he makes an impact. We all know Heath Ledger's the bar, but and Jack's going to get his votes, of course. But Jared Leto sneakily got in there for me. And at least from an appearance standpoint, I just liked, and it was also easier for me to do. It wasn't full paint on the face. There was gold teeth. It was easier to put together and I enjoyed it.
The grills, Sammy wearing
the grill was great. The grill was beautiful.
Thank you to everyone for tuning in today. Have a great Halloween, no matter what phase of your Halloween life you are in. Adorable kid stuff, couple costumes, titties galore. Have a great time. Do it safely tonight. Like and subscribe to both channels if you would, please. And most of all, remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, they're gone.